Run here, as I sit here sipping the prototype for the first cocktail of the first month of the Ask Rana Social Club. I'm saying to myself, I can't believe I'm going to share this with all of you. Well, I told you I was in the lab. I'm out of the lab. And have we got something fabulous for you. Launching today at AISocialClub.com, a collab between me, Brian, Connor McKee from Fiasco Brooklyn, pardon me. You've heard me talk about fabulous Connor. We've got so many surprises. I can't wait for you all to see what we've been cooking up. It's a monthly cocktail box. And more importantly, it's a fabulous monthly Kiki exclusive to subscribers, pardon me, where we three get together, we mingle with you, we make the drink together, and we have a fabulous time. What can I say? So go to AISocialClub.com. What can I say? Exclusive cocktails, exquisite company. We can't wait for you to join us. This is going to be fun. Now, wait a minute. I have with me, I'm just going to get right into it because what I can't do is wait. I'm tired of waiting. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing today is because I'm waiting, which is that dear Brian is still gallivanting abroad with his mother, pardon me, my main competition in life, the other woman in his life. And I have with me today Nahant's finest son, pardon me, from right down the peninsula. Or the other peninsula, really. Its own peninsula, right down the shore. None other than carriage house favorite. World favorite, I'll say. There, I'll say it. Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, darling?
You know, I mean, listen, I'll take it from the carriage house to the world stage. I could not be happier to be here representing the North Shore, Nahant, Massachusetts.
The South Shore of the North Shore is what you said. Is what you're
yes,
representing.
The, yeah. yes. The South. How dare you, though? I refuse. I refuse to take the nomenclature of South Shore, even though I am one of the southernmost towns of the North Shore.
Let me ask you this. I forgot to ask you this the last time you won. Does the smell from Lynn migrate to Nahant? Does the wind blow that way? Does it blow?
You
the
mean
other
the red
way?
Tide? The yeah. red tide smell?
Well, they've never determined. Do your parents know? Have they ever determined? Red tide is red tide, and then there's the smell.
Oh, red interesting.
Tide, did you know that? Red tide is an algae that comes and goes.
I do know that. That's what I always attributed the smell
no,
to.
Well, you excuse me. You think you're the only person. MIT was there trying to figure out the smell for the last 30 years, but you figured it out. It's red tide.
I cracked the case. It's red tide.
Encyclopedia Mantzoukas.
Hey, how do you like them apples?
In the case of the red clams.
I'm fucking Goodwill Hunting this. MIT couldn't crack it, but I can.
Will Hunting, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Is that funny? Does that movie hold up? I don't think so.
I doubt it, but
it can't.
You know what? That's a movie that I feel like I've maybe never revisited.
Yeah, you're all right. Don't worry.
You know what? Maybe we should do it for a Patreon episode.
Actually, we could because it's a Boston movie.
That's what I'm saying.
We should revisit that and we should do The Departed together because those are two movies.
That movie,
that
I will say,
think
doesn't
a
hold
Boston
up.
Movie. Exactly.
Yeah.
The movies that people think those are Boston movies, but Boston people think that guy's from Rhode Island.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That guy's
no.
from New York. That guy's from New Hampshire.
And you know, none of the Boston Black Mass, not a good Boston no. movie.
Though, you know what's kind of a fun Boston movie is Mystic River.
Sure, I agree.
Yeah. And Gone Baby Gone Until It Falls Apart is fun.
Until it kind of goes awry. But that's like, you know, but it's, yeah, I get it. But I think you're right. Mystic River is a good one.
I never get over Sean Penn when he, I love
when he goes
when he's
crazy.
In his package store. And he has to put on his readers.
Yeah. I love those masculine older men, and then they have to wear the readers.
Oh, yeah.
It's so tough, but they have to put on their readers.
I had readers built into my glasses.
They call that progressives.
They're called progressives now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I got. I got them. It's happening right now.
Well, don't worry. We're going to edit that right out so people think that you're
so people think I'm young.
You yeah.
People mistakenly believe I'm young. God forbid they find out that I have magnification in my glasses.
So listen to me. I have to laugh, speaking of movies, because I had John Millhiser on last week.
Okay.
You know
terrific.
John Millhiser.
Very funny, yes.
Very funny. John Millhiser I like because he's like an old-fashioned, he's like a boob.
He's like a boob?
Yes. Remember they used to call people a boob when they were sort of a physical comedian?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
He's a very gifted physical comedian, and he completely commits to a bit, but there's also something innocent about his comedy. It's just old-fashioned, hysterical comedy. In any event, we had him on, and by way I mean me, because Brian was gallivanting.
Oh, and man. Brian is really going for it. Where is he? Wait a minute. What's the country? I don't even know where he is.
He'll be back for 10 minutes, and he's gallivanting again.
Wow.
He's in
what a
England.
Life.
Really. True.
What a
that,
life.
That 9-1. I know it's not the podcast money, so it must be the 9-1-1 money.
I was going to say, you must be paying him well.
Too well, that's for sure. I'm paying him too well. There's no question. And in fact, while he was gone, we probably should have stopped his direct deposit and then started a new system. And when he came back, you know, change the locks on the doors and say, you want to stay here? That's fine. But
here's what I'm going to say. I think you should go one step further. I think you should just for true peace of mind, I think you should do full forensic accounting on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I think he might be skimming.
If anyone could do it, it's him. He's very smart. First of all, he's terrific at math. Did you know that? He does quick math. He's one of those people who does quick math, which you're saying is a thing.
Like kids, they call it quick math.
I need 6 dozen oranges. He'd say like 386.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the number is, but that's, you know,
you're going to guess that it's 386.
I just threw it out there.
Six dozen. I mean, like,
it's really
the 6 and the 2,
it's
you
really,
already know it
80,
ends in
it's
2.
80, it's 72. Is that how many oranges it is? It is. 6 dozen
Wow.
Oranges.
Without Brian here, you really fall apart.
So he just sort of
is that why you have so many oranges in the background of your screen?
It's no one's business. What's it? By the way, people have started talking because I have all this art here that I'm lending to a gallery, and they want to know where it's going. Why is there more? Why is there less? This is nothing but a storage room. It's no one's business.
Got it.
In any event, this is a dusty old Peloton. If you want, I'll send it down to your mother's.
How much use does that Peloton
get? Oh, that's not my main Peloton. That's just an old one. So if you want me to send
it,
if your mother wants an old one, I'll send it down to Nana.
Well, let me ask you this. I have a question for you.
Do you want an old one, do you think?
I know I'm derailing this, but I think I have that
you
same
derailing,
Peloton.
You derailing? You would never.
How dare you? I think I have the same Peloton, which you are now disparaging. Should I be getting a new Peloton?
Well, do you have the one the way the screen pivots so you don't?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Well, is that that's entirely up to you. That's the move. I should be getting that.
Well, the truth is, poor Peloton, their stock has been plummeting.
Oh, they're,
so you
they're,
could probably
yeah.
get one for 10 cents now if you wanted it. So listen to me. John Millhiser and I somehow or other were talking about Shawn Mendes. I don't know who he is. He's some sort of singer.
He's a pop star, yes.
Yes. And I have to laugh because we were talking about him somehow Fast and the Furious, and which of course, you know, you have your fabulous podcast. How Did This Get Made? You know everything about Fast and the Furious.
Yes. We talk a lot about those movies. Yes.
There's a lot of them. And I said something about who is Shawn Mendes? I think he's the one who sang with Wiz Khalifa, the song from Fast and the Furious.
Oh.
And I have to laugh because people got so upset. They were commenting, it's Charlie Puth or Puth or something. It's not Shawn Mendes, Rana. Yeah. I wanted Nicole Byer to bust down the door and say, you know, because she just did a Fast and the Furious series.
She did.
And I had to laugh because I could care less.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know who it is. Okay. I love the idea that they're yelling at me for not knowing.
For not
Charlie
knowing who these
Puth
young
is.
These young
oh,
pop
Shawn
stars
Mendes.
Are.
What do I care?
Well, it really is. How and I wonder I wonder if you're experiencing this.
I knew who Wiz
Khalifa
was.
Like, it's kind of like these new superstars are unknown to me, too.
Fine, you know? By me.
Like, I feel like somebody explained to me who Doja Cat was, and I was like, oh, no, I don't, I missed somebody.
I need that explained to me. I need somebody's complete introduction. Tinashe, you know? Is that a name? I need those two explained to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, but yeah. I mean, like, they were
already.
But is
Doja Cat a DJ, or is she a singer?
No, she's a pop star. She's a singer.
Is. Yeah. And I know who Dua Lipa
is. Was already so massively successful. And I was like, how have I never, I don't know. And I had a real crisis of, yeah, oh, I'm old. I'm
well,
old enough now that
you need a gym mix. You need to add it to your gym.
Yeah,
mix.
I got to add it to my gym
if
mix.
If you were
you're
going
right.
to gym, if you were going to aerobics like you used to before the pandemic,
of course,
you'd
of
know
course.
All this music.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd know all about, well, I, you know what I probably could do? I could probably take your old Peloton and dial up. I could. I'm sure.
Get
Hannah
on your
Corbin,
Errol's modem. Get on
I'm
your
sure,
Errol's modem.
I'm sure Hannah Corbin teaches a class with all the contemporary hits.
I think you could. First of all, that's it. You could do a contemporary hits Peloton.
Yeah.
Or the other thing is, you could go to your Reebok step class, and they'd play all this music for you.
You know, it would be smart for me to be like, you know, how I find out about
I
new
see
music
you on a
Peloton.
Step. I could see you on a step.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With your scrunchy socks and your Reebok high tops, for sure.
Absolutely.
Your short
and
shorts.
Like my dolphin shorts.
Uh-huh, your
and,
short
yeah,
shorts.
Yeah, yep. And a tank top and a headband.
And I hope a ponytail.
Oh, yeah, always.
At least a half ponytail.
Well, I do a ponytail now because my hair is so long.
Yeah,
I have to do like a man bun or a ponytail.
Yeah. Well, you're just becoming the embodiment of the Greek god that you already were. It's just, you're just trending in that direction. Next thing you know, you'll be making roast beef subs for everybody. It'll be wonderful.
Oh, wouldn't that? Boy, I could go for Amino's roast beef right now. Oh, boy.
We should go for Amino's. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh. Next time you're in Nahant.
Next time I'm in Nahant, I will meet you at Mino's in Marblehead.
Well,
for
I'll
a roast
meet
beef
you
sandwich.
Outside Mino's. You'll go in, and then
oh,
we'll
I'm
go
not
to,
going
and
in.
Then we'll go to Crock-a-Pock, and we'll have our Mino's
well,
outside
well,
together.
And you can go to TCBY in front of Mino's and get a frozen yogurt.
if it's still open, fingers crossed.
I can't imagine it is.
Listen to me. Somebody wrote
I'm
in.
I'm listening.
Now this makes me laugh because this guy writes in. This guy thinks he's the pronunciation police.
Okay.
Henry in D.C. wrote it. Hi, Rana. Hi, Brian. If you're back from gallivanting around South America by the time this correspondence reaches anyone's eyeballs. So Brian is currently in the U.K.
He's been away long enough for letters to have been written about
Correct.
It. Wow.
Except they're even confused. He's in the U.K. He's coming home for a couple of weeks. We're going to do a few episodes. Then he's taking himself to Machu Picchu.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a life.
Really. Truly.
We're in the midst of a pandemic.
He's fearless. He had COVID. He's fearless.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And
okay.
He's very careful. Very careful.
I'm sure.
Rana, I'm sorry to hear that you've caught the vid. I haven't heard it called that, and I don't really care for it. But this is,
that
I didn't
to me
write
sounds
this
like
letter.
That you caught a video.
Yeah, the vid. Exactly. I wanted to know what the vid was for. That's right.
The vid sounds like something in an 80s sci-fi movie that they would call the communicator. Like, put him up on the vid.
Yes, that's
I
exactly
talked to
right.
him on the vid.
Yeah, something you know? That Max Headroom would be a fan of.
Exactly.
The entire world is a disgusting petri dish right now. Here's to a speedy recovery. 1,000 thank yous for powering through and doing the podcast despite your infirmity, because I did the show last week in my Hotel Bel Air robe. I did two episodes of the podcast.
Whoa.
What can I do? The people, they need it.
The show must go on.
I needed to show people that we needed to live through COVID. And so that's,
oh, yes.
that's what I did.
You know,
I met
you're leading
commitment.
By example. You're a hero.
More or less. Your commitment to everyone in the carriage house is appreciated more than you know. As I sit here in my gorgeous Heston's robe, savoring the aroma of my Santa Maria Novella Potpourri candle, while listening to the dulcet tones of your tribute last week to Wiz Khalifa's See You Again, featuring Charlie Puth. Ahem. Let's blame that one on the Paxlovid, shall we? I will be... Say, they care. They care yeah. that I don't
they know.
Know.
They know. That they
that's
care
the
and they
information
know.
I'm not yeah. carrying around. It's so hysterical yeah. to me. I would be remiss not to provide the needed assistance on which my favorite podcasters and all of Marvelhead have come to rely. For both Sam and Sean, it's pronounced Mendez, at least according to the men themselves, not Mendez or Mendis. Yours fondly and respectfully in artful elocution, articulation, and syllabification. Syllabification, probably. Henry in D.C. Wow. And then I will say this. He did provide a photo of himself in the robe holding the candle box.
I mean, so like he was a very square jawed, like a John Hamm level jaw on this guy.
Yeah.
Henry in D.C., total hunk is my
and
guess.
You know what he's got? I'll say it right here. He's got a nice mouth.
He's got a nice mouth, yeah.
And he has a nice cheek line. Do you see that? Yeah. He has a sort of
he's got
nice...
a strong chin.
Mm-hmm.
And I like he's got he's kind of smiling and he's got a medium smile. He looks
mischievous.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And a Hastings robe, you
unless
know, like
he's absolutely cross-eyed or a cyclops, he's gotta be handsome.
Yeah. Oh, he's
based
a hunk,
on what but, I'm seeing. Oh, yeah.
He
could have a bad
one.
Nose. He took.
Can you?
Right
you know? Can you
nose.
Look at someone and be like upside, like upper half of their face gorgeous, lower half terrible?
Bugs
like, or is it really just cohesive? Like a face either works for you or it doesn't. You know what I mean? I guess somebody can have like.
You said,
his nose could ruin it or something like
yeah.
that. But
well, it's Bugs Bunny.
But now that I've seen the lower half, I suspect the upper half is going to be handsome.
But it's Bugs Bunny and the belly dancer. She's the most beautiful eyes in the world. And then he pulls up the mask and she has carnival teeth.
Sure, that's true, I guess. Yeah, it could be carnival teeth. We could have a bad case of... So, Henry, we're going to need you to send in a picture of those
teeth,
please.
We're going to need more features,
we're going to need to see them teeth, please, Henry.
Now, I think we should get right into it because we've been jibber-jabbing for quite some time here.
Okay, we're jib-jabbing the old website that did, like, flash animation.
What they call jib-jab?
Jib, there was like a, doesn't matter, move on.
Are you doing a lot of flash animation movies for your website these days?
Yeah. I'm doing so much. It's, you
I'm
know.
I'm so glad you're using Flash because the file size is smaller.
Because it's the year 2000 and I work at JP Morgan.
But GIFs are back, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So listen to me. As you know, this show is a collection of letters from people that are desperate. They have nowhere else to turn.
Have you thought about turning all of these letters into a book?
And what would I do with that book, dear?
You would post the letters and then your responses.
Sure. Do you think anyone would buy it? I'd be happy to
I bet these maniacs would buy it.
Letters to a nut.
Yeah, remember? Letters. Yeah, that's what I was going
to
bring up. Letters
to a nut.
Yeah.
Or Griffin and Sabine, the postcards.
Oh, the bad. Oh, of course.
How many girlfriends did you buy Griffin and Sabine?
A true love story. Can you? I mean, so many.
How many people did you buy that or post
I think I only. I think I gave it to one person.
Uh-huh. What about
and then and I was given it by one person.
Was it the same person?
No,
were
years
you giving
later.
It back?
Yes, but someone said, "Fuck you." Why would I want?
Did
this?
It come back in a box with your gym shirt?
With my gym shirt and a hot dump. You and a note that said you left these at my house.
Okay, but if I do the book, you're not getting anything, but you'll get invited to the party. How does that sound?
Fine. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Is it at Jacob Marley's? Is it in the function room at Jacob Marley's,
no,
the restaurant in Marblehead?
The Tuif by Sea or whatever.
Okay.
It's called.
Yep.
Jacob Marley's. Oh, R.I.P. We'll just have it at Shuby's in the outdoor beer garden that they've established. In any event, these people are desperate. So we're going to read these letters. We're going to answer it. And as you know, since you've been on the show before, at the end, we give them something for the trouble. But we only give it to the person we have a feeling for.
Right. Somebody wins, technically.
Doesn't matter if they're the saddest or the happiest.
Right.
Which
is
someone we have a
who
feeling
we feel
for.
Like needs
we think
the
they
thing.
Need something.
Got it.
I forgot to mention this. And I think I'm within my bounds to mention it. We have started. It is official now. I've been talking about this for months, how I've been in the lab coming up. You know, I'm always trying to serve the audience. Speaking of the book, give them something they really want. We have established the Ask Rana Social Club.
Holy cow.
Which is a monthly club where you get a box with booze selection of the month, the makings of a fabulous cocktail, within reason, of course, if it needs a fresh lemon or a fresh lime or whatever it needs. Sorry. You're going to have to get a fresh. It's not going to be good unless it's fresh. I can't, well,
I mean, the,
I can't
people can
send
handle
you a
that.
Lemon. I can't yeah. send you a lemon. It's that simple. You're going to have to do a little bit of work.
That's one of your catchphrases.
I can't send you a lemon. Because then you'll say, Ron, this is a lemon.
That's a t-shirt.
The podcast is a lemon.
I can't send you a lemon.
Yeah.
I can't send you a lemon.
And I won't.
And it's got a lemon. It's got a lemon on it with a strike through it.
Well, I do think lemons are cute, so I like anything with a lemon on it. So I'll consider this as a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But we send them a gorgeous box. If they join the club is a 3-month commitment, then they can cancel anytime. If they want to buy the box one off, they can do that too if they want to. But they won't get the welcome box that comes with the club. And they also won't get the price break. If you join the club, much, much less expensive. If you do the one off, it's a little more expensive because it takes a little bit more for us to put it all together.
Okay.
But they get a gorgeous welcome box. I don't want to say too much because I really want people to have that moment of surprise where they open it and they think, oh.
Well, here's,
you know,
can I ask you this?
Mail?
I love great mail. Oh, don't get me wrong.
So
let me
say,
let me just put this out there to the people that are joining. What is it called? Rana's Club?
Ask Rana's Social Club.
Ask Rana's
Very
Social Club.
Very exclusive, yeah.
I think that if you are getting this welcome box,
yeah.
you should make an unboxing video and send it to the podcast.
Not only are you 100% correct about that, I defy them to not want to. Let's
An unboxing video. Describe your experience, you know, unboxing it, the quality of the materials inside. And then I would also love if people started posting videos of them making the signature cocktail.
Well, of course they have to do that.
Share it with each other, share it with the show.
One of the things they get
community
in the box
builder.
Is they get a collectible recipe card. So they get that month's cocktail, which is always a surprise. And they get the instructions about how to make it. But the other thing they get is invited to a monthly kiki. Once a month, we have
a monthly kiki,
which is a kiki is like a party.
Okay. Got it.
Where they come to a live event hosted by myself, Brian, and Connor McKee from Fiasco Wine and Liquors in Brooklyn, who's curating the box with us. So fabulous, Connor McKee. We're going to talk about the drink. We're going to talk about how we came up with it. And we're going to make it.
This is like on a Zoom or something, I assume?
Exactly. We're going to make it live. And they can join and they can Q&A and they can et cetera. So they get a live event included.
That's exactly what I was going to pitch.
I should be charging $900 a month.
You should. Because I was going to, here's what I was going to say. I was going to pitch it as, people should make videos of themselves making the cocktails. But then I thought, what if they were able to gather together, drink their cocktails and talk to each other? I wasn't even going to pitch that you needed to be there. I was going to say, give them an opportunity to meet each other and give them an opportunity to talk to each other about the show. They can
mingle. And they can see how a professional makes this gorgeous drink. There's all kinds of fun little accoutrements and extras that we're coming up with that I don't want to tell people about. Little, you know, a signature this, club exclusive that.
At what point will someone get married who met their significant other at a Rana Social Club meetup?
Hoping it doesn't happen because I don't want to have to
officiate that wedding.
That's the problem.
Would you officiate a wedding?
Someone did get engaged at one of my shows once, and Henry Winkler helped.
Yes, we've had people get engaged at our shows, but I don't think they met at the show. You know what I mean? Like, that's what
has
would
anyone
be really
met in the club? That's a good question.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Well, we can put that to our page. This is the other thing I forgot to mention. My God, the show's already over. I forgot to mention everything. This is a two-parter. Jason Mantzoukas is not only the host with me today on the free feed. I'm going to have to mention this. I'm going to have to find a way to mention this at the top.
Oh my God.
So people don't tune out. He will be, after we answer these questions and we read the cliffhanger, he's going to join me in the Patreon carriage house to answer this week's cliffhanger. It is, it's a double. It's a double-double.
Yeah.
Is what it
oh
is.
Oh my God. It's my favorite order at In-N-Out.
So if you're not joining us at patreon.com/AskRana, God knows this is the moment where you're going to do it.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Okay, so let's get into this. Are you ready, dear?
I have a question for you, Rana, that is...
Wait, you didn't write in a letter. Is this your question?
I didn't. You know what? I should have written in, but I have a question.
Scribble it down, email it, to send it to me. And then I'll send it
to Brian. Are you aware of the controversy that is going on in my hometown of Nahant vis-a-vis the...
Does it have to do with lobster culling?
No, it has to do with the... Northeastern, the college, has an oceanography campus at the tip of Nahant.
Okay.
That they are now saying...
Right at the end when you drive to the
end, if you were to go all the way straight
through
town. Yeah,
where those beautiful houses are.
My town, for people who don't know, the town I grew up in is like a...
It's an inch big.
It's an island. It's a tombolo, technically, I believe. But it is it's an island connected by a 2.5 mile causeway. So it's out in the middle of the ocean. Anyway, so out at the end, there's an oceanographic institute run by Northeastern. And
I didn't even know they had one, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah. And now, because they have this land there, they're now trying to build some enormous complex.
No.
And the town is freaking out and there's a whole thing. So I've been following it. I've been trying to follow it as best I can.
Can you go to a virtual town meeting? Have you done
that? Well, they have been having town meetings, but because of COVID, I believe they've been outside or something like that. Again, this is a tiny town. So
are we going to win? Is the town going to prevail?
We got to keep Nahant small. We can't have like big giant.
I really agree with that. I have to say Nahant is a gem.
Yeah.
And there are
would you call it the gem of the North Shore?
I would call it the gem of the south of the North Shore.
How dare you?
Of the south shore of the North Shore. That's what I would call it. By the way, Connor McKay from the Cocktail Club.
Yes.
Is from the actual South Shore. He's from Scituate, I believe.
Wow. And you let him help you with the show.
He wormed his way through. He won
Have you ever had Mike Mitchell on?
Honest to God, he won a contest.
Wow. Impressive.
We did create a cocktail for the Kiki. He created it. He won the contest. And then we figured out who he was after.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. All right.
So he is certified here. He's a contest winner. He's a business owner.
All right. Yeah.
He is a true trendsetter and tastemaker. And he's part of that little Brooklyn community.
All right.
And
I don't want
to speak out of turn, but it may be that his business partner, who is a James Beard nominated cocktail mixologist, is joining us at our first Kiki. And she may or may not have helped us come up with our first drink.
Wow. This is huge. All of these reveals.
It's a world, Jason. It's a world.
All right. Should we read this question?
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that local controversy on your
radar.
You're going to want to talk about it. It's a real I think it's not cool. And we gotta speak up.
We're going to keep up with it now. And we're going to make sure it doesn't happen. How about that?
I appreciate your help.
Hi, Ron and Brian and treasured guest. Well, they got that right. Love the pod in all caps. Enough said. My parents were, still are actually, best friends with another couple. So growing up, our families were together all the time. Holidays, birthdays, weekend outings, vacations, etc. I called them my aunt and uncle. The grandparents in this family treated me as one of their own. The kids of my same generation and I have always called each other cousins. Point being, we are not related, but were raised as close as the closest of family. This is regarding the eldest son. Let's call him my cousin, Alan. Okay. Alan and I are close in age, now in our 40s, and have little kids close in age who adore, in all caps, each other and always want to get together. Our spouses have always gotten along too. When Alan and his family moved across the country, we built our vacations around visiting them. To be fair, they moved to a fabulous vacation spot. Where could that be? Last Thanksgiving, Alan and family came back home to back to our hometown for a visit. All three generations were there. My parents, his parents, sadly his dad is in rapidly declining health, our siblings, and the next generation of our kids, all under seven. It was a heartwarming visit. I left feeling so grateful that this was my blood and chosen family. That very evening, I started receiving sexual texts from Alan.
Whoa! Did not see that coming.
I was shook, in all caps. 40 years of friendship, so close we call it cousins, and right off of a wholesome day with our kids and elderly parents, ? Tried to LOL my way through it, trying to text back as if he were joking. Give him a chance to say it was a joke. Side note, my profession is comedy adjacent.
Oh, comedy adjacent?
What could that mean?
Is there another comedy Jason?
And my profession is, I'm a comedy Jason. It says right here.
Wait, did I write this?
I just asked
Alan,
if you wrote it and you said
Alan,
no.
Not cool.
Your cousin Alan's been sending you dirty text messages.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
You're not cousin Alan. Involving dirty jokes and edgy humor. So what does that mean? They write for BuzzFeed or something?
Yeah. Around people who are irreverent and funny.
Jerry. Yeah.
So probably
What's
BuzzFeed.
What's his name? Jerry.
Yeah, probably Jerry. Yeah. Probably
they
BuzzFeed.
Work at a meme factory.
You mean Jerry BuzzFeed?
Yeah, Jerry BuzzFeed's. They work at Jerry BuzzFeed's meme factory.
Jerry BuzzFeed's giggle emporium.
So at first I was giving him the benefit of the doubt that he was taking sexual jokes too far, which also, by the way, Alan, now's not the time to start. If he was doing that, you don't become a comedian in your 40s, okay?
Like a blue comedian.
Yeah,
one that works exclusively in sexual innuendo or overt sexual.
Yeah, Alan's, the honeymoon is all of a sudden he's Jackie Gleason, yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe Alan is like hilarious.
You know what we should say? I shouldn't say that because Mrs. Maisel started in her 30s or 40s, as to Joan Rivers. So we should let people become comedians late in life. If they want to ruin their family life, that's up to them.
Absolutely. Rodney Dangerfield didn't become well-known until he was in his 40s.
But he was working that whole
time. He was working, you're right.
Yeah, Joan Rivers, hung up her dishwashing gloves and became a comedian or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. That was how she would enter the stage for her act.
Yeah.
She would hang her dishwashing gloves on a coat rack on stage, and then she would start her act.
Well, someone had to do the dishes when she got home that night. No one likes to wake up to a dirty kitchen.
No one.
But the text persisted on. And by the way, that'll be the most important thing I say this whole show. It has nothing to do with the questions that have been asked or answered, but I want every single person listening to this podcast to hear that. No one likes to wake up to a dirty kitchen. Even the people who say, I'll get to the dishes tomorrow, would prefer to wake up to a clean kitchen.
Oh, and by the way,
if there was a button and Rosie, robot could come out and clean it, they'd let them.
What's better at the end of the day than putting on a podcast or music or whatever, an audiobook, and just doing the dishes and doing a little cleanup so that when you get up to make coffee, it is like, everything's ready to go.
Christine, how are you like to do the dishes and you're not married? I can't handle it.
Oh, I'm all about, I'm not a good cook. I'm not a cook. I don't cook
well. But you don't
mind
cleaning up?
But I love, I love doing I love participating. So I'm a great helper. Ugh, I'm a great chopper. I'm cleaning as I go.
My God.
I'm always cleaning.
I was going to say, why is Jessica Chastain's already married? So I don't know who we're going to find for you.
That's who you would match me with?
That's just...
Your
just,
first person that comes to mind is Jessica Chastain?
That's who popped into my head.
Interesting. Okay.
Let me ask you this. No complaints.
That's an interesting one.
Let me ask you this. Who is your celebrity crush? It can be from any era. It doesn't have to
Emma
be
Emma Thompson.
It could be Marilyn Monroe. It doesn't have to
Emma
be.
It's Emma Thompson.
You would marry Emma Thompson.
I would marry Emma Thompson in like 1 second.
Who else is on the list?
At any point in time.
Okay.
Emma Thompson. So talented, so funny,
yeah.
Gorgeous, like yeah. Amazing.
A real life force.
A real incredible. Yeah. I love Emma Thompson. I don't know. I'm okay. Trying to think.
You can think about it while we go.
I'll think about it. I'm trying to think yeah. Who. I'm like trying to remember like who like from my childhood. Like
but
I remember
Emma Thompson.
Having, like,
could be anyone. Could be. You could say like from Marie Antoinette.
Oh no, not Marie Antoinette.
No, I don't think she's for you.
No,
but,
she's not for me. No.
No.
But you know, like I as a young
but maybe
person,
her
like,
mother Marie Therese.
Yes, for sure. That's like yes, absolutely.
You could have been the black sheep of the Habsburg family.
Without a doubt.
But you would have been the guy that's one of the married that everyone hated your guts and just thought, how could she marry?
What? How could she make this mistake?
Every time they show up at an event, oh, he's going to crack a joke. You know, like they're all trying
to. Oh, he thinks he's so
funny. Oh, he's laughing at the Lipizzano horses, you know, whatever the, yeah.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
We've got to get back to Alan.
We got to get back to Alan's dirty texts to our person in need of help.
Persist. We honestly, not only that, we have to wrap up the show. We're on the first question. But
wait,
the texts,
what?
We're almost,
no way.
The show's almost over. But
no
the text
way. How long are these episodes?
We've been talking for at least 98 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
The text persisted on and off for days and proved he was not joking. He was propositioning. How could that happen? How did it go?
Like,
on
how do you, how does Alan misread this so?
But also,
profoundly?
How do you let it keep going? I don't understand how.
I agree.
Went. I finally texted, frankly, that I'm not comfortable with it, and to please stop. He backed down. For the record, I have never flirted with Alan. I have always seen him as family. In case you were wondering, my sweet husband's reaction wasn't even anger as much as pity for Alan. Like Alan must be in a low place, really going through something mentally to do such a thing. Well, it's not exactly a compliment, but Alan and I haven't, I was sort of thinking, I mean, let's give Alan the benefit of the doubt that I'm irresistible, shall we? Alan and I haven't interacted since I laid down the law. Now they will be visiting again soon, and my mom is constantly reminding me. Oh, how excited everyone is to see them, etc. I am dreading this visit. Should I go? If so, how should I behave? I am not a confrontational person. Neither is my husband, who is also dreading this visit. I haven't told anyone else. Please help me preserve all that is beautiful about these two families and their multi-generational bond while dealing with my gross-ass sexting harasser cousin. Thanks so much. P.S. Love the Carriage House Coffee. Please don't share my real name, obviously.
Wow. That is, that was a ride. That
what
was,
you
know, very, I'm very, it's heartbreaking. I don't know. I'm curious to see what you think. I think it's hard, to, you know, like, I mean, part of the question is, I guess, should this person even go to this family event, like she's considering not even going, just so as to not have to confront this. That's certainly an option, unless that will in and of itself be kind of seen as some sort of, I don't know. Is that in and of itself not going, refusing to go? Is that kind of making a, will she be asked why and have to give reasons? Is that gonna bring up this
right? Is it gonna crack it open a little bit? What would you do in this scenario?
I mean, it's hard because there's a part of it that is like, in my, I think I would lean towards like, oh, I won't go to this one. Maybe I'll go to the next one. I would give it like space. Maybe I would be like, I don't need to like be. I don't need to. If she and her husband are dreading this. You know, and they don't need to like subject their family to the rest of that. But there's also a part of me that's like, oh, is there an element to this that is like, you know, if everything has stopped, does she need to have a conversation with Alan that gives some sort of like button to this so that there's no not resentment, because there obviously is going to be resentment, but that there is no, that she feels like she got to say what she wants to say and feel what heard,
she
hopefully,
really
by Alan.
Say? She says she's not a confrontational person. Here's what I sort of think. You've already told your husband. Your husband was understanding to some extent, pitying, sort of thought, gosh, what's going on with Alan? I mean, all jokes aside, something's going on with Alan is what the the husband thought.
We need to talk about Alan.
The husband doesn't seem to want to punch Alan in the face. He seems to think that's too bad about Alan, but what can you do? This is one of those things. You don't seem to be scarred, triggered, traumatized, whatever the words are, by this event. You wish it hadn't happened. It's unpleasant. It's making things awkward for everyone in an otherwise terrific situation.
Okay.
You're not telling me this brought something up for you and now you're having a hard time. You don't think you can be in the same room with him. That's not the feeling I'm getting from this letter. I'm getting the feeling this is awkward. It stinks. Alan, invited a skunk to the party is what happened here.
Okay.
You just want everything to go back to normal. You have a couple of options as I see it. There's plenty of options, but you could just go to the event and decide this isn't a big deal. And you could just decide Alan had a momentary lapse in judgment. You could give him the benefit of the doubt that he's ashamed about this. And you never discuss
going. That's the thing. It wasn't just like that night. He sounded like he kept going.
The problem is, whatever Alan introduced is less of a problem than destroying all of these other relationships, basically. My mind, if this is not deeply upsetting to you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If this isn't traumatic or triggering for this person, if this was just uncomfortable and transactionally, like, wish we could just kind of get rid of it. But if this really is something that is really triggering for the writer, then I would hope that they not be forced to kind of re-engage with it.
Absolutely agree. Though that's not the feeling I'm getting from this letter. I would be happy entertain a follow-up if I'm getting that wrong. The other option is you go to the thing, you pull Alan aside. I know you don't like confrontation, but you just say, hey, can we talk for a second? This guy's practically like a brother to you. You've known him your whole life. Say, look, I don't really want to get into this too much. I was really uncomfortable about what happened a few months ago. I think you know that. I told you, and I just want to make sure that that you're okay, because that seemed really out of character for you, and B, that we're okay. I love you. I love that our kids are friends. I love that everybody's friends, et cetera, et cetera. And if it's okay with you, I'd love to just move on. And my guess is Alan, hopefully, we're going to find out just how much of a crisis Alan is in. Because if Alan has half a brain, he's going to say, I really appreciate you essentially releasing me from my shame and guilt.
Yes, from this horrible
thing. And I would like nothing more. And then you say, that's great. I love you. Great. We're moving on. Or he's going to say, the thing is, I can't stop thinking about you. I'm madly in love with you.
I
wondered if you'd like to meet behind the ice cream shop.
I always thought we had a thing. I feel like Alan has a story going on in his head.
Yeah.
That he thinks, it sounds to me like he maybe has some sort of unrequited something.
But I think that it's smashing up against a midlife crisis. So he's
and it sounds like his father is dying. Yeah. And it sounds like maybe they've been close their whole lives. And he's, I don't know, like he's conflating their relationship as one that is perhaps more than just the siblings type
and
relationship.
That comes out and it's pretty clear that he's holding this candle, et cetera, then I think you need to say to him, Alan, I say this as a person who's known you your whole life and loves you. This isn't going anywhere and you need to get a therapist and you need to figure out what you're doing because you're pretty close to exploding a lot of things in your life that I'm pretty sure you care about.
I also think that I agree with the idea of having, and I especially think that's a good idea,
This is a person you have known and loved your whole life. He's not just your husband's friend from college. Yeah.
You could have that conversation with Alan like over the phone before they get there.
Yeah.
So that once you arrive, there's no like dance. There's no like, yeah. I need to get Alan alone to have this conversation. There is a version of it that is like, hey, I'm coming, or we're going to be seeing each other soon.
We've got this weekend coming up. I just wanted to talk.
I'd like to talk about some of the things that have gone on since our last time meeting. Can you make time?
Also, leave room for the fact that Alan might do the face-saving thing where he says, I was totally joking. You thought I was serious? And then you say, and it'll make you insane. You want to punch him through the phone when he says something like that and acts like he's 2.5 years old. But you just say, oh, okay, great. What a relief. Done.
You don't think that she should say, oh, well, even I'd still like to talk, even if that's the case, because then I'd need to explain that your jokes make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, that's probably true, too.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to make sure that kind of joking.
Well, then we don't have the same humor, I guess.
Yeah,
and I don't want that.
I just
want to
make sure that kind of joking doesn't continue. I don't want to. I don't like those jokes, you know, and I want to make sure you know that I don't like those jokes.
Yeah.
Type of thing, you know.
And
really.
I also think it's okay to call out to him, Alan, I love your family. My kids love your kids. My parents love your parents. Our family loves you. I really don't want to jeopardize any of that.
And I think what, you know, you mentioned this and she mentions it in her letter, like that she's not confrontational. And I don't think you need to be confrontational as much as I think you need to be informational. You need to be like,
my other line? That's the better line of this. My line was nobody likes to wake up to a dirty kitchen, to dishes in the sink. But I like this one better.
You know, you just need to give Alan information and he needs to hear it.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be confrontational. You don't have to be angry.
He doesn't have to be defensive. He doesn't have to react to it in the moment either.
You just need to give him information and he needs to receive it. And that's
it. Excellent point. Terrific. I'm happy with that. Please give us a follow-up. Let us know what's going on.
I'd love to hear what's going on.
Yeah. And by the way, feel free and play this for Alan if he's confused in any way.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Oh, no, you should definitely. Alan needs to be, you know, a nice swift kick in the nuts is what Alan needs. All right, dear, you're going to read the next one. If all else fails, punch Alan in the nuts. That's my advice to you.
Okay, yeah, there's always that. Okay, question two. Dear Ronna, Brian, and illustrious guest.
Well, forget Brian because he's not involved today.
I'm both Brian and illustrious guest.
Right.
It's me, Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
Longtime listener, first-time writer.
Is the T silent?
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah. I mean, it's like a stop. You know,
Mantzoukas. Let me ask you this. Where in Greece is your family from?
My dad is from northern Greece. He grew up in a village in like Macedonia, essentially.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like in the mountains. Like he's like from mountain people.
How did he like the Honeyland documentary?
Oh, I don't know that he watched it.
Oh, was it called Honeyland? My favorite movie of the last 10 years. Honey.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, no, this movie was made just for you.
Yeah, I'm literally, it's a Greek, it's about Greece?
It's about Macedonia. But it was, I hope I've got that right. It was, won the Oscar 2 years ago, or 7 years ago, whichever it was, the pandemic. And it's the most incredible movie you've ever seen. And it is a documentary, sort of. It was a documentary about a beekeeper in the hills of Macedonia. It's incredible.
Cool. Okay.
I want you to watch it the next minute you have time to watch it.
I can't. I'm gonna log off of this Zoom right now and start watching it.
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
Go on.
Longtime listener, first-time writer, love the show. I was one of the first to move into the top floor of a newly renovated building in Chicago. A few months in, I got my first neighbor next door. Let's call her Evelyn. I started to notice Evelyn's interesting habits, like packages left blocking the entryway for days.
Oh, this is
annoying.
By the way, this is a question made for you.
Oh, yeah.
If there's ever a person who is super aware, not anymore because you don't live in New York, but that knows every movement the neighbors are making and what they're up to, it's you.
Absolutely.
And anyone that doesn't want someone to violate a common area, it's you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is already egregious. Yeah. Okay. So I started to notice Evelyn's interesting habits, like packages left blocking the entryway for days. Annoying but manageable, until Evelyn got a dog. An obnoxious barking dog that hangs out on our shared wooden back deck and startles me as I leave my apartment. To mitigate the issue, she left me a handwritten note asking me to put plastic bumpers on my doors so her dog's barking wouldn't interrupt her Zoom meetings.
What does that mean? What is a plastic bumper?
I don't understand what that means.
Communally, so I don't really know what that means.
How would plastic bumpers on the writer's doors make the dog barking better for Evelyn's Zoom meetings?
But apparently it works. So.
Okay. Then things get wild.
Okay.
Oh, things got wild. Sorry. Last year, Evelyn decided...
So should we imagine that this is like a triple decker? But anyway, let's go on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Maybe.
It's just like a...
Like
I'm
a Wrigleyville situation.
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wooden deck, okay. Then things got wild. Last year, Evelyn decided to put a strip of sod on our deck for her dog to relieve himself during the winter.
Yuck.
Not, I'm already very not on board.
The hygiene is already so upsetting. Someone should call the health department.
Ugh. There were brownish yellow pools in the snow going two floors down.
Black.
Gross. But it was winter in Chicago, so I let it slide. I figured if the dog was old or injured, he couldn't get downstairs. I didn't want to cause drama, so I left it alone.
That's what the pads snow event- are for.
Yeah. The snow eventually melted, but the sod remained through the summer.
Blech.
With the Midwest heat and humidity, the smell was unreal, and I was not able to enjoy a glass of wine outside.
I bet.
I saw Evelyn and the dog on daily walks. My conclusion was the dog was fine, but she is just lazy. Mm. It was so bad that the neighbors below her hoisted a blue tarp over their deck to divert the doo-doo from their patio table.
No!
What? What?
Who owns this building?
I just want to... It was so bad that the neighbors below hoisted blue tarp over their deck to divert the doo-doo from their patio table. That is unconscionable. Cut to this spring and the sod is here to stay.
Ugh.
I bought some herbs and flowers for the back deck 2 weeks ago during Chicago's first warm day. Mm-hmm. After a crazy thunderstorm last week, there were swarms of gnats everywhere and a cluster of dead gnats got stuck both to my back door and to Evelyn's.
Today, throw up everywhere.
This is the grossest letter. Today, Evelyn left another handwritten note to let me know she purchased gnat traps and a bug zapper since my plants obviously had a fungus gnat infection.
Yes, of course.
The gnats are ruining her ability to enjoy her back patio and are entering her apartment. Mind you, there isn't a single gnat in my apartment.
Yeah.
And the kicker? She told me not to worry as she, quote, hasn't called management or anything, unquote.
Uh-huh.
I am floored.
Yes.
She considered calling management on me for a made-up problem while her dog urinated on the neighbors?
Mm.
Do I ignore it, question mark? Do I tell her that these gnats would have died since it's already dropped below 60 degrees? Do I use this as an opportunity to tell her my deck space is not your dog's bathroom and offer to get rid of the plants if she gets rid of her piss-soaked sod? I was planning to avoid the confrontation since I'm moving out this summer, but this last note has sent me over the edge.
Mm.
Love, you can use my name since she doesn't know it, Andy.
And there's a follow-up.
Oh, there's a follow-up. Sorry for the quick follow-up. but I needed to send this important follow-up in case my letter is selected. The Chicago Tribune just posted an article that the city has been infested with ..
Incredible.
The article states these mosquito-like bugs have been flying near the lake in 10-foot-high insect clouds and are common this time of year. Hope this helps. Yeah. Midges.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like a bunch of like young women in like the 1950s
Hi,
in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
You know,
Hi, Midge.
You know, Midge. We're all me and Midge, we're going to Myrtle Beach.
Me and the Midges, because they have a bunch of friends that are all named Midge. Susie and the Midges. What are you going to do, Jason? Keep in mind, this is happening right now, but Andy's also moving this summer.
Andy's moving. So the big reveal for me is that Andy's planning on moving anyway.
Yeah.
So this falls into that category, and I'm curious, Rana, where you fall, which is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because basically, you will be inconvenienced for a very short amount of time. So is it worth it? Do you need to tell someone how it is? You know what I mean? Like, it's the urge to correct someone's poor behavior, even though you will very soon not be being inconvenienced.
Yes, but Andy is also in the unique situation that he has nothing to lose.
Of course. Yes. See, this is so interesting. You think of it a different way. Gimme, what do you got?
Well, normally I would say, forget about it. Just, you lived with it this long. She's an unreasonable person. We already know that. And she's getting ready. The good thing about, the only thing you have over her is she doesn't know that you're moving.
Yeah.
So with her, don't worry, I haven't told management or anything. You have a couple of options here. The other thing I would say is the following, though. Chicago, it's only, keeping this into perspective, it's only warm in Chicago for as long as it's warm.
Oh, yeah.
May in Chicago.
4 weeks.
You do not want to miss out on May to July in Chicago.
No.
You want every minute of a glass of wine on your back deck or this or that.
And I mean, if you are lucky enough to have outdoor space in a major American city that is yours to relax on, even if it's shared, you have to be able to enjoy your outdoor space, and you have to have respect for the people you share it with. You know, there's being neighborly here. There's something going on. Somebody's going to move into Andy's apartment as well.
I want to know who's running this building. And I want to know if they're responsive, because what I really want is for Andy to not even really respond to her.
Right.
And I want him to call the management immediately and say, "Hey, I understand that I'm leaving in a couple of weeks. I've loved living here, et cetera, et cetera. But that is why I have to speak to you about this. So-and-so has a piece of sod. They're allowing the dog to defecate on the deck. It is dropping down to the level below."
What I'm shocked,
and if you want to call Barry and Kim, who live down below, and
that's
double
what
check
I'm shocked.
With them,
I'm,
you can.
Andy's doesn't seem to have connected with the other people being affected by this behavior, and that's what my first piece of advice was: talk to those people. Have they not said anything to anybody?
The only thing you have to say to the landlord is, "I'm hoping that you can resolve this problem, but if you can't, let me know if you want me to call the health department."
Got it. Interesting.
You just drop, "Let me know if I should call the health department or if you have a way to resolve
this
problem."
If you
Nothing could scare the crap out of a homeowner more than having the health department called.
Well, I'm so curious because, like, think about it this way. Like, you know, like, I realize now so many of your letters are people who don't want the confrontation.
Who does? This is
who
life.
Does, of course. But the people below, they don't want the confrontation so much
that they rigged a tarp shit screen
to stop shit from falling on their outdoor picnic table. Like, where they eat was being shit on, and
rather than intercede and have a confrontation, knock on the door banging, they'd rather put a
blue tarp so that when they're having dinner or wine outside, they're under a blue tarp, and they're hearing the piss and poop hit the tarp.
And as much as you'd like to tell her off, the truth is this is the job of the building owner. This is not your job.
I agree. I agree.
She can take all
because it's also
midges.
It's not just affecting Andy. You know, this is something that's affecting multiple tenants.
I'd love to see Andy throw his basil plant over the balcony and say, "Done. Now you want to go clean up."
Now you throw yours.
Yeah, exactly. Because really, but that's another little secret, little clue about Andy, which is he's only there for another 2 months, and he went and bought plants. He wants to enjoy this space.
Yes. Well, it's also like if it's just herbs and stuff, he can probably take them with him. If they're
and
just like in a box.
Go get 10 more cents worth of herbs when you're done with this, Andy.
Yeah, Andy.
I want Andy to hit pause on this podcast, call the landlord immediately, and then come back and listen to the rest of the
podcast. I'd like to know how this goes because this seems like this is a bigger than Andy problem.
Yeah.
And my advice also to Andy would be, I would say before you even call the landlord, talk to the downstairs neighbors to find out if they called the landlord.
Yeah.
You might be piggybacking on a complaint that already exists, you know?
Okay.
Come on, Evelyn. Get it together.
Now, here's
those
another one.
Those people who just show no regard,
Are just like a brat. Yeah. Evelyn's mother probably brings a lunch once a week, you know.
Oh, interesting. See, I'm picturing Evelyn as an older person.
Oh, no. Evelyn's a young jerk who
I'm picturing Evelyn as an older person because Andy chose a pseudonym for her that is an older woman's name.
I know, but for the cousin, they chose Alan the other day.
Okay. So, Alan's in his 40s, though, so that's old.
Do you know a lot of Alans? Is in your 40s old, Jason, out of curiosity?
It's middle. If 40s, 50s, that's middle age.
Oh, wait, so you think Evelyn's in her 40s?
I think Evelyn could be in her 50s, 60s.
I'm guessing. Evelyn is...
And Andy is young, is my guess.
I think Evelyn is 28 to 32. That's what
okay, okay, Andy, I'd like you to write in and tell
Andy,
us your age
back.
And Evelyn's age. My guess is Andy is in his 30s and Evelyn is in her like 50s, 60s.
I think Evelyn is younger. I think she's not married. I think that her parents pay for her apartment. And I think she fights with her mother all the time.
Interesting. Wow.
Evelyn
okay.
doesn't clean her room. That's who Evelyn is to me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more
this
of
This is
older...
exciting. This is we're playing a game of shtetl clairvoyance.
I'm picturing
is it
older...
the Macedonian clairvoyance that's going to win or the Ukrainian clairvoyance?
Older person who is like almost a hoarder. That's why the mess in the entryway, the unpicked up packages.
Yeah.
Evelyn can't deal with the world.
I think Evelyn doesn't feel like it. You think Evelyn can't deal with it, and I think Evelyn doesn't feel like it.
I'm fascinated how this is going to play out. Andy, please get back to us. We got to know. We got to know.
Rana Bryant, an amazing guest. I sure?
Get it together.
I'm sure.
Writer.
It's so embarrassing, Jason. They write to us, and they occasionally take time to make the language a little flowery. What if they get picked, et cetera, et cetera. And then... for some reason, people have absolutely given up on proofreading.
Oh,
this
is nobody proofreads. Just everybody
it's the
sends.
First line of the letter. Yeah. I sure.
I mean, you should disqualify people for, although I would do this 1,000,000%.
I love, in all caps, the podcast and proud chip exclamation point. That means they're on the Patreon, where people can join us after this. Once we read the cliffhanger, they can go immediately to the Patreon this Friday.
Can't wait.
And hear our answer, because we're going to record it, bim, bam, boom, right after this. I have a situation I would like to hear your thoughts on. So no one's ever put it like that before. They usually have a question. They just want to hear, they have a situation they'd like to hear their thoughts on.
And just thoughts.
I work with my ex-boyfriend. I hate it. But I have a very good government job, so finding a new one is not an option. We broke up nearly 2 years ago, and while I really struggled to get over it, I feel I am fully over it now. I make every effort to avoid him and only speak to him when I have to. We are not friends, simply co-workers. I've met a very nice guy that I am very interested in dating. We've only been on one date, but dating in my area, conservative, and I am not, and at my age, 39. Is rough, and this is the first guy in 2 years that I am even remotely interested in. My question is, Do I tell him about X? How about my ex?
My ex, yeah.
I think I should to avoid him finding out later and thinking I was hiding it for some reason. So when do I do that? Now? After a couple more dates? And any suggestions on how to tell him? I am assuming just straight to the point. Let it fly. Any advice would be great. Love you both. XOXO Rhonda. Boy, we've got some real old-fashioned names this episode.
Everybody decided to choose old-timey
names. Alan, Evelyn, and Rhonda. That's who we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Iande. Don't forget Iande.
Huh. Well,
One date. They've been on one date.
I think my initial, like, straight out of the gate answer is anybody you start dating, eventually you tell them about your past relationships.
If they care.
And when that time comes inside of this relationship, should you be lucky enough for it to blossom into something real, you should tell them about your ex then. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, it's not like, it doesn't sound like from the letter that Rhonda and her ex are woven into each other, the fabric of each other's lives. No, they're just still coworkers. So it's fine. I think tell them about your ex when you are sharing those pieces of your life history with this new person. They're not owed, you're not keeping a secret. They're not owed direct, somebody you're interested in isn't owed direct access to your entire life history, you know?
Correct. And also, this situation isn't as awkward as it sounds.
Oh, it's not like if you guys, it's not like, oh, and we have to go to a party next week at my office and I know my ex is going to be there. Well, then I would say, yes, you should tell him. You should tell your current boyfriend that your ex-boyfriend is going to be there. That's worth knowing.
Yes, if you think that guy's going to come over and talk to you and be
that's what I mean,
and all
you know,
of that
like,
stuff.
Exactly. But otherwise, I don't think it's necessary. I think it's only necessary when you deem it necessary, you know,
or I think
appropriate.
You could say, and also how much you say is also dependent on how the relationship is unfolding. So in the very beginning, if you were to have to go to a function or something like that, as you mentioned, you could say, look, I would love you to come with me to this office thing. Just letting you know, my ex-boyfriend works at, you know, the same place.
The same place, yeah.
Nothing going on between us. It was not the world's greatest breakup, but it's all fine
but
now.
But we're fine. We're co-workers now. We've made
we're
it work.
Friends.
We've not friends. Yeah. We've segued into this part of it. I just want you to know.
Just wanted you to have that information.
You don't owe it to this person to tell them, like, immediately on date. If somebody downloaded that to me on date two,
yeah,
I would think, are you still hung up on this person?
Yeah,
like this person is so front of mind that I would worry that you're thinking about them more than you need to.
I would also worry that you were maybe conveying how serious you think it is between me and you, and
correct,
we're only on a second date.
Yes, if this is date two and you're already giving me,
and let them unfold. If things are going someplace, they're going to go there.
And also, like, enjoy right now. Stop thinking and focusing on your ex so much. Enjoy the getting to know you phase of this new person you're dating. This your concern should really be present tense, which is getting to know this new guy, going on dates, getting to know this new guy. That should be your primary concern.
This is someone that you work with. That's not something you have control over. He's not your roommate. You're not saying, oh, by the way,
and you're
my
not
roommate
you're also
is my
not
ex-boyfriend.
Business partners.
Yeah.
You're not small business owners together, you know, like.
I would be more concerned about the overshare spooking the new person than
I would be
about the full disclosure aspect.
Yeah, because I would be like, well, she really seems like kind of obsessed with her ex, you know?
But I also think it's only date two. I don't need to know everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
pump the brakes.
How serious is she about me if she's telling me everything about it? Also, I was married and then I was this, I was that. Let's wait until we know whether it's time to share that information. It doesn't mean withhold. It just means that these things will happen organically in conversation. Some people on the first date, they might say to you, have you ever been married? First, second, you sit down, you say twice.
Sure. you know, and but
and if
that,
they want
you know,
to know more, let them ask more. But you don't have to say, well, but you don't have this, to like the second one was that.
People you're twice. Just starting to date, neither should you expect a full, you know, autobiographical history of their life, nor should you be providing one for them of yourself.
Let's see if we enjoy each other's company a
There's
little bit
so much
before
else.
We share all of the intimate details.
We don't need to be so obsessed with our pasts.
Yeah.
You know, at the expense of building something in our present.
That's why I said, half joking at the beginning of this question, if they even want to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, as you get a little older, you don't sort of, maybe you're a person that's interested in that, maybe you're not, but sure. Do you want to know a little bit about someone's past in terms of red flags, et cetera, et cetera? But I certainly don't want to hear about every person anyone ever dated. I mean, say, you know, not because it would hurt my feelings, but because it's boring, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Unless there's something to know. Which
or
is,
yes, unless
you know,
there's something that is, unless
or a
there's something
red
that
flag or something
yes,
bumps
that is
you,
of immediate concern.
Yeah, then you sort of dig a little deeper. But
yeah.
I don't really care who you went out with in college, to be honest.
Oh, and if you're telling me, if you're telling me right now, then all you're telling me is that you care, that it's very important to you that I know about your ex.
What?
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's.
Or you were in a relationship before, in fairness, where the other person wasn't transparent or they were deceitful or there was dishonesty.
Sure.
And you are sort of overcompensating and saying, I want to make sure I'm transparent. I want to make sure I say this and that.
Totally fine.
And if you need that, that's fine. But don't put
anything on
it.
And also, like, there are times when you're dating where, you know, you do talk about your past relationships or your whatevers, at which point usually people are sharing and that's entirely appropriate if it happens organically. But the way that that Rhonda has framed it in her letter is almost as if there's a right or a wrong and she wants
that
there's like almost like an ethical obligation.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And
that's
I don't
exactly
think there
right.
is. I think all you are obligated to do is go on a second date and try and enjoy it, you know, and just be present and try and engage in a way that is meaningful and gives this a real shot.
Yeah.
You know,
let's see if there's anything there.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that if you were going to be at a function, you might say, look, just letting you know.
Yes, I agree. Like if you think
or he's a jerk or it didn't end well or whatever it is. But
yes, but I just wanted
I'm
you
not
to know.
I'm planning on talking to him. He's probably not going to come over and talk to us, but there's nothing there. We just work together. What can you do?
Yes, I think that would be appropriate. Yeah. Exactly. If you thought that was going to happen, like some sort of inevitable run-in or something like that. But otherwise, I don't think you owe anybody an explanation just because you've started dating.
No, how about a little mystery?
Yeah, or how about a little just like get to know each other? Just
a little
like
privacy.
Come on.
Hot issue right now. Jason, we've come to the time in our show where we have to decide who gets what. And then we have to read our cliffhanger, and then we've got to go over to the Patreon carriage house.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow, wow, wow. So much.
We've got a lot to do.
How have we done? Are we doing good? Am I doing good as both guest and Brian?
Are you kidding? You're incredible.
Okay.
You're not Brian. You're you. And you're wonderful at
I mean, fulfilling the Brian role. I'm not trying to be Brian. I could never.
Excellent co-host.
Okay, good.
Excellent. And you give thoughtful, intelligent, uniquely perspective advice.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Kissing cousins. That's the first one. Alan.
Oh, right. Okay. Got it.
What do I do about Alan?
Okay.
We have to talk about Alan.
We have to talk about Alan.
Number two, dog do afternoon.
Right.
The sod and sod strip in Chicago.
Okay.
And number three, nervous Nelly. Who thinks she's got a fish on the line and is worried about scaring him off, but is too busy trying to scare him off to not scare him off.
Okay, so.
Who needs something here?
I feel like, okay, so I'm gonna take out three, because I don't think number three needs something. Rhonda is on the precipice of finding new love. She is just trying to trying to tie a bow around the closure of her past relationship and is on the precipice of new love. And my hope is that our advice was all the gift she needs, is all the award she needs, because she is really, in terms of where all three of these people are, she is really the person who to me seems the most like, she's in good shape. You know what I mean? Like she's out of her bad relationship. She's looking forward to a good relationship.
She's on the horizon. A new day is dawning for Ron.
All she needs to do is lean in, right?
Lean in and lean out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Continue leaning out.
Don't lean in too far, Rhonda. Lean out a little.
Or lean neutral. Kissing cousins is a tough one just because there's so much family drama. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The cousin has been so wildly inappropriate. All of that, like, my heart kind of breaks for that writer. It's a real bummer.
Yeah.
But then it's also, you know, okay, so I'm also, you know what? My vote is for, was it Kissing Cousin? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So my vote is for Kissing Cousin.
Yeah.
The person who's dealing with unwanted texts from Alan, my vote goes to that person because Andy, while having a miserable time with Evelyn and her dog,
moving to a new apartment,
is moving anyway. So his problem is about to be over again by his own... You know, like he's taking control and he's seeing it through. And so to me, the person who I would give the award, not the award or whatever to, is the first writer, only because they are truly stuck
in
a very difficult position that they had, that they did not ask for. And this is, it's awful. And so my vote would be for the first letter, Kissing Almost Cousins.
Yeah. The question is what we're going to send her. What does she need? She needs something. Well, what she really needs is the exact advice that you gave her, which is she needs something to remind herself to be informational instead of confrontational. There's a little stigma in her mind about being confrontational. And the truth is she needs to be informational.
Yes.
As you say, here's the information, Al. I'm just giving it to you.
Yep.
Here's what for.
I mean, how about we could send her stationery?
Well, it's funny that you say that. I was thinking, it came to me. We are going to send her one of those little Smithson notebooks. Do you know about these? Those cute little leather-bound notebooks, and they have a little saying on the outside. They're beautiful, gorgeous.
Okay.
You put them in your purse, or your bag, or your man purse or whatever.
Is it like a field notes or is it a,
it's more like
of a journal?
It's a field notes, but nicer.
Okay.
It's like one of those Rhodia books, but nicer, or Claire Fontaine, but nicer.
I like a Rhodia.
And I know Jason loves stationery, so I know that I can
I'm like a real notebook head, but I don't know the one you're talking about. So that's
a Moleskine? What's your notebook?
I'm a Moleskine. I've at times used Rhodia. I've at times used Field Notes. Like I will keep getting different ones just to try them out.
Sure. And what are you interested in right now? Because maybe we'll send her that.
You know what? Right now, send her whatever I think you just mentioned.
Okay. Well, I have to check the price point on it because it may have gone up. It may have gone up with inflation. I don't know. It used to be a reasonable little indulgence, and now it might, who knows? Chanel bags are $900,000, so I have to just double check. But I think she's getting a Smithson notebook is what I think.
Okay, give her a Smithson notebook,
and
or just
not,
like a Smithson
notebook.
If it's too expensive, like a Smithson notebook NFT.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. You know, we're going to just give her a little bit of that. What's the new currency that just plummeted?
I don't even know.
Not Bitcoin, another one.
But it's one of the cryptos?
Yeah. Not Dogecoin or Dogecoin or whatever.
I don't know. I know nothing about crypto. I need to watch like a YouTube explainer video.
Don't bother watching it because it's going to be over before it starts again. So Jason, here's the situation. Let's recap. A, Ask Ron a Social Club, now open and available for membership. Excuse me. Go to asocialclub.com.
Are there tiers to the membership or is it just you're in or you're out?
The membership is available for, it's a 3-month commitment at a certain price and then you can cancel anytime. or you can get a one-off, but it's a little bit more expensive, and you do not receive the incredible, gorgeous welcome gift that comes with being a club member.
And again, the welcome gift is there so you can film an unboxing video where you interact with and get and share a little bit about yourself, and so that we get to know
the
who
welcome
are
gift
the
is
people
gorgeous.
Listening.
It's something that you want. Let's put it this way. Membership has its privileges. Okay.
Oh, okay. That you should look into that. I think that's taken.
Copyright. TM.
TM.
AskRonaCoffee.com. Rather be looking at it than looking for it. Of course, we have our gorgeous coffee. And they can still get our Negrana. I sent you the Negrana. Didn't I deal the bottle
You did,
Negrana?
Yes. It's in my cabinet.
Have you not enjoyed it yet?
I haven't had any.
Oh, what are you waiting for? Honestly.
I don't know.
The
I'm
world's
sorry.
Ending. Why haven't you had your Negrana?
It's true. It's true. You're right.
Put it in the fridge the minute we pause and pour yourself a Negrana later today.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll fucking
what do, you
do
care?
It. Don't dare me. I'll do
I'll
it.
I'll send you another one if I have to.
I'll drink the whole bottle. I'll drink the whole bottle right now.
I happen to know you can afford to buy another bottle of Negrana if you love it that much, but we'll find out. But
I really
gorgeous.
I need
How
to stop using you
bottle?
To I need to stop using you as an accountant.
Okay, dear. And now this is our Patreon two-parter. Everyone knows Jason Mantzoukas is the world's most beloved guest. He's joining us on the Patreon. For the answer to this question, go to patreon.com/AskRonna. We will see you over there. All right, dear. Hit it.
Dear Ronna, Brian, and distinguished guest, if applicable.
Absolutely applicable.
You are truly the only people who can answer this question. Your wisdom... non-sage, in this particular area is unparalleled. okay. I went on a date with an internet man with the singular hope of, quote, a good romp, unquote, or, quote, getting absolutely plowed, unquote, depending on which one of you is reading this. Okay. I'll let you decide which one is for who. Okay. I have a long and honestly boring romantic crisis happening, but I know my place and will keep that to myself.
Well, that might have been the more interesting question we're going to find out.
We should dig into your boring romantic crisis, writer. And so instead, I'm on this date. Within 15 minutes, this man tells me he has IBS, an ex-wife, a cheater, German.
Sure.
And camouflage sheets. I mean, that's a lot to come up in 15 minutes.
Well, this is fun coming on the heels of our other conversation where we said, don't share too much. But anyway, look, the date goes where it goes. The conversation goes where it goes.
People love to share just too much.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Unfortunately, this is unslash fortunately. Unslash fortunately, I can overcome many obstacles in the pursuit of medicinal shtup. Mm-hmm. He otherwise seems like a nice, plain, 34-year-old straight man who goes to therapy, excuse me, and has a kind of Jim Gaffigan or Mike Birbiglia vibe. Oh. Cut that out if either of them are your guests. Okay. And I remain steadfast in my quest.
Now I wish I'd called them.
Yeah, you should. I mean, wait, you could have Gaffigan on here now instead of me.
Get Brubigs in here and see what he has to say about this.
He's been busy hosting the Kimmel show. I invite myself to his apartment. He leaps from his chair to get the check.
Good sign.
We arrive at the door of a ground floor apartment with fluorescent lighting that immediately gives me pause.
Oh, boy.
He opens the door to ... Buffalo Bill's house. Now, my presumption is this writer is referencing Buffalo Bill, the character from Silence of the Lambs,
of course.
Not the football team, the Buffalo Bills.
No. You'd get your shtup there for sure, your medicinal shtup.
No, this isn't some sort of rooming house for the Buffalo Bills.
All the Buffalo Bills were living at the same house together.
It's
you could
also
probably find one of them to shtup you.
It's also not a situation where it's a house decked out in Buffalo Bills merch.
Maybe.
This is Buffalo Bill, the serial killer from Silence of the Lambs.
Correct, with the green fluorescent lighting and the hole in the floor.
Yes, and it rubs the lotion around. On its skin or else it gets the hose again. Yeah. That Buffalo Bill.
That's the one.
I'd fuck me for a box of popcorn.
Is that what he says?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
I internally scream. Caked, solidified dust on every surface, brown paint on a padlocked closet door, bugs coming out of the ceiling as I pee.
No.
Yes.
No.
I used the bathroom, but it was an emergency.
Well, it sounds like everything's an emergency. She has an emergency
Holy shit.
Stup that she needs.
Yeah.
An emergency pee.
This writer is in distress.
Crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. You've made choices here that nobody should have made. The tub, question mark? We can't. The lighting can only be described as, quote, serial killer, unquote. Uh-huh. Multiple hunting bags. Ooh. Again with the camouflage. Mm. I inquire.
Ugh.
He says one is his bow and arrow. Mm. It's by the bed, all caps.
Sure.
The only reason I didn't flee is he had a very sweet, honestly precious big dog that didn't seem spooked or anything, right?
Yeah, but the dog, you can never use the dog as a litmus test because the dog is a prisoner.
The dog is a prisoner too.
Yeah. The dog doesn't say, I love this guy, I love living here.
The dog has Stockholm syndrome.
The dog didn't answer a Craigslist ad to live with this guy and interview other owners.
The dog didn't choose to be here.
Go on. The dog's not dead is not a credit to this man.
There's no way I could have gotten naked in this apartment or, frankly, zip code, so I politely and in my highest, most girlish voice said I had misjudged how many drinks I had and thought it best I go home. Ugh. He had no objections. Oh. Again, he seems normal and goes to therapy and made sure I got home safely. He texted me some small talk afterward, but I obviously cannot ever see this man again. Does he need someone to tell him his home is one of the creepiest, filthiest, upsetting places a girl can visit? His couch was a dog bed, and I mean that literally. Did that German lady really do a number on him, or is this why she left? Obviously, not my monkeys, not my circus. I'm also in therapy, but like...
But
dot,
like...
dot, dot. Unfinished. Okay. In summary, I'm sorry this needs a summary. A... How do I tell him I don't want to see him again after we had a rather nice date prior to the visit to my personal hell? B, do I tell him he lives in such a way that will prevent him from ever having sex again or finding love? Could I be of any possible help to this person? Thank you for all that you do for us chips and sweet mangoes. Brian, surely you are entitled for compensation there. Looking at it rather than looking for it, Z.
Okay.
Hmm. Wow.
Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/AskRana. Much love and thank you to our dear, dear co-host, Jason Mantzoukas, today. But if this wasn't enough, go get another scoop of Jason Mantzoukas flavored ice cream over at patreon.com/AskRana. And don't forget to vote in the Nahant Town Council meeting against
the building. We gotta shut this down. We gotta shut this down, guys.
Oceanographic Institute.
We have to save Nahant.
Who's the most famous person to come out of Nahant? Is it you? Did anybody else ever come out of
Nahant? I have no idea. I mean,
because we need to get them on this petition.
That's a good question. I'd have to look into it. If there are, it would be like an author from the past or something like that. There's nobody contemporary.
I think Conan O'Brien might be willing to help us with this.
Okay. Let's get him involved.
Get him on board.
Let's get him involved. I love it.
Yeah. All right, dear. All right. Kiss, kiss. We'll see you on Patreon.
What a delight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.